Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia dealers of Ireland. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia are with you all the way.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And we're moving on and back to the subject that is so much to the fore of all our minds at the moment. Mairead, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Katie. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, Mairead, you're worried about your daughter.
I am indeed, Katie. My daughter works for a global fashion company that's located in Dublin West. It's their Irish operation. There are about 25 staff in the office. I obviously won't mention the company or the brands, but it's a very, very well-known company. They have best-selling brands. They're located all over Europe and beyond. So my daughter works in the Irish office, and as I said, there are about 25 staff working there. So the problem that she and all of the other staff are having is that the country manager, backed up very strongly by the human resources manager, has been forcing the staff to come into the office to work there since the first lockdown. And this is despite the staff all having desk-based positions, which honestly could be easily done from home. And the staff have questioned this many times, and they've asked to work from home. And indeed, some people have been in quite precarious situations with, you know, vulnerable household members, or even some of the staff have been pregnant and wanted, you know, not to expose themselves to any further risk. But they've been told over and over again that it's just not allowed to work from home. And in fact, the only alternative to working from home, and this has been repeated so often, is that you'll be furloughed. So if you don't come into the office, you're going to be furloughed, which the staff are really perceiving as a threat to, you know, either being dismissed or certainly a threat to their income in the short term.
So furloughed means let go without pay.
So much.
Sorry, Mairead. You by furloughed, has it been explained to them what it would mean for them to be furloughed? Would that be without pay or with reduced pay?
No, it would be literally they would be put on the COVID payment.
Right. And when they question why this insistence on doing the job from the office, what are they told?
It's extremely difficult to. I suppose any staff working in fashion, as you can imagine, is not exactly an essential business. So it's obvious that all of the stores, you know, the sales have been down over the past year, etc. So, you know, there will be losses, and there have indeed been job losses in that industry and even within this office itself. So when they ask, they're told that they're key workers and the key workers need to come into the office. The company has been providing them with a letter on company letterhead explaining that they are key workers, and these are letters that they're told that they can provide to the police if they're stopped on the way to the office.
So they have been provided with letters from their managers that state that they are essential workers and therefore are entitled to go to their place of work. On what basis are people doing what essentially are admin jobs in the fashion industry? Am I right? Would that be the correct way to characterise?
No, absolutely. Like the types of jobs that would be that are involved would be like it's like managing operations. So, for example, financial functions, human resources. There'll be sales and marketing functions. Those type of functions. So all of which can be done and are being done in many, many other offices are being done from home.
I'm quite astonished that they have been supplied with these letters, which essentially will tell Gardaí that they have to be at their desk.
Katie,
it seems to me the only reason that they have to be there is because there's been a HR decision made in their company.
Well, I would imagine that it's more that the HR manager is following what the country manager is insisting on. But this is a very large company, but unfortunately it's a small enough office. It's not unionised or anything. So people, you know, they're very dependent on their direct managers for this. What I would like to know, Katie, is who's monitoring this situation and who can employees report their employers to in cases like this?
Because I think you may have seen Dr. Ronan Glenn on the 6 o'clock news yesterday, Mairead, where he made a big plea to employers in particular, to facilitate employees not coming to work, you know, laying out how serious the situation was, and again, you know, stressing how important it was that people work from home if they can at all do that. And as you say, then, if you're in a position where you're being told you have to come into work, even though you can't see why, you know, where does that leave you?
Indeed. And because people, like typically the fashion industry, staff are quite young. Therefore, you know, staff will have mortgages, they'll have rents to pay, etc., etc. So everybody is, of course, aware of the fact that it's not going to be easy to get a new job. But there's such a climate of fear in this particular office, and I'm sure in other offices that are doing the same thing, where, you know, people are just afraid to say anything, or if they say anything and then they're called up afterwards and asked to account for their behaviour, told to stay positive, etc., etc. And, Casey, yesterday, I don't know whether it was before or after Ronan Glynn asked people to stay at home, but a message went out from the human resources manager yesterday afternoon explaining to people that they were back in the office tomorrow. So in case they'd had any doubts as to whether anything may have changed since last week.
Yeah, I do think this is going to become increasingly an issue for people, because certainly the sense out there is that from the first lockdown, where I do think a lot of people did stay at home and didn't go to work, and I think were facilitated in that regard, there was a sense in the second lockdown, and now as we go into the third lockdown, that that is not happening to the same degree. And I know that we remember Dr. Tony Hoolan talking about the level of traffic that was out there that didn't indicate that you know, people were staying at home to the degree that they had hoped. But as you say, it really is down to employers, isn't it, to facilitate this and to encourage this with their staff.
It is, and I'm absolutely sure that many employers, you know, are following instructions like this, and, you know, it's just pure common sense really to do it. But what I'm wondering, Katie, is who is actually monitoring it? Like when a Garda is presented with a letter and there's a long, you know, queue of traffic behind the person who's been stopped, then they'll look at the letter, they'll, you know, accept it for what it is, at face value, and they let the person go through. So who can actually, to my mind, this is just abuse. It's abuse of the situation, and it's something that should be reported. But I've no idea who this should be reported to, or how employers can be, you know, can be spoken to.
Indeed. I mean, it is a very, very good question. Who is going to, as you say, if you're at a checkpoint and the person in the car produces a letter for the Garda, they're not going to have the time or the space to double check that the information on that is correct or right. But as you say, where does that leave us? It's completely self-regulated, obviously.
Absolutely. And the situation in the office, like, this is a small office, it has a small communal kitchen. Lunch money has been deducted from the salaries up front, so the staff more or less feel obliged to use it. So there are many situations where they're feeling uncomfortable about the way they have to work. They're mask wearing. Social distancing is something that they are being encouraged to do, so that is one thing. But mask wearing, for example, is not being encouraged, and it's not being encouraged in case, you know, any of their wholesale or retail partners come in, because it might put them off. You know, the wholesale or retail partners may come in from time to time to view a new collection and place an order. So they're told, the staff are told not to wear masks because it may put off these people and they may spend less money, etc. And it seems so wrong that commercials, you know, everybody understands that companies need to make money, but, you know, and to continue to make money. But it seems so wrong that commercial interests are pushed completely ahead of staff safety and staff health.
OK, will you stay with us, Mairead, because I want to bring in Sarah. Sarah, good afternoon to you.
Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, Sarah, you're self-employed.
I'm self-employed, yeah.
And you're an architect.
I'm an interior designer.
Oh, an interior designer, OK. But you work in the
I'm completely with the construction industry,
right.
You know, kind of totally. But my concern basically has been, and has been for the last week, and I hadn't heard anything about it. 200,000 builders apparently went back to work today.
Yeah, that was it. They were. This is the day that the builders go back after
yeah,
the Christmas break.
The builders went back and there was nothing. The schools have been held off for an extra week to allow the numbers to decrease slightly, you know, to see what's happening with them, you know. But 200,000 workers approximately went back into work this morning. And with that are all the associated businesses, the lighteners, tiling suppliers, plumbing suppliers, paint suppliers. It's huge.
You've decided to stay away from...
I decided myself, yes, because I think the numbers, in my opinion, well, I think it's fact, are way higher than they've ever been.
Well, that is a fact. And we know we heard Reid from the HSE again just there at lunchtime giving some very scary numbers as to where we are and where we're going with this. At the very beginning of the first lockdown, construction sites were shut down. That was reviewed.
That was reviewed and they were considered to be an essential industry, which is true. It is absolutely an essential industry. But I think the numbers, my opinion at the moment is that the numbers are way too high to allow that amount of people to go back to work and go home in the evenings. They're calling to petrol stations. They're calling all over the place. I just think it's mad. But I think it should have been stopped before they opened. It's very easy to tell the builders to close down when they're already closed. But once today came and that they went back to work today, it's practically impossible then for them to close after that. They've invested money opening up. It's a very difficult situation, but it should have been kept closed for what I thought maybe another 2 weeks.
I think because I have memories of the debate around this issue from back in April when it was decided that building sites could reopen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think one of the issues was people were outdoors to some degree, and we know that that is less risky. We won't say safe, but it's less risky than people who have to work at close proximity indoors. And also, I suppose there was just this sense that housing and that area really is, we're talking about essential workers a moment ago, really is an essential part of the economy. And we really needed these houses to be built, and that it was really important that this sector be allowed to continue with all the safety elements that were put into it. But you don't believe that it can safely continue?
I don't agree at the moment that it is safe. I think perhaps there are some sites that are more urgent, you know, contractors working in hospitals, contractors working on major kind of sites like that, perhaps can be policed. But certainly sites that are what I would term domestic cannot be safely run, in my opinion.
I think one of the issues as well, going back to that time, that people had a lot of concern about was how workers were getting to the sites. Because traditionally, they would go travel in vans, in the back of vans, and might be 10, 12 workers in the one van.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wonder to what degree has that really changed?
No, but I do know that kind of I work in Cork City primarily, but on any site I go to, there are workers coming from all over the place. Now, mostly they have their own vans, whether they ferry other people in the vans as well, unlikely because they're kind of coming from outlying areas, you know. But at the same time, I think it's madness. I genuinely think that unless there were urgent sites, that they should have been held off for another 10 days or so, you know. Definitely.
Okay, Sarah, will you stay with us? I want to bring in Siobhan. Siobhan, good afternoon to you.
Hi, good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
Good, Siobhan. You're a practice nurse.
I am indeed, yeah.
That means you're a nurse in a GP's
practice, yeah.
Practice, yeah. And your son has now tested positive.
That's right.
So what's your sense?
Well, I suppose I emailed you last night with just a big sense of frustration, I think, really, with the government. I'm a single parent. My son is 13. He is now isolating. And as a result of it, I have to restrict my movements for the next 17 days, apparently.
Why 17 days?
Yeah, it's a question I asked. The HSE rang me today and said it would be 17 days. Because he can't, he's not, you know, he's in isolation, but we share the same bathroom, so he's not in 100% isolation. So I think it's just a measure that they've added on an extra couple of days just to be 100% sure that, you know, you're you haven't been in contact with somebody with COVID in that length of time. But, like, I am not going to be tested. You know, I will obviously get onto my own, the practice that I work within, and, you know, I want to be tested before I go back to work, because I don't want to be going to work and not know whether I have COVID or not, and I'm going to, you know, dealing with patients that are sick, obviously. So I suppose it was just through frustration that I emailed last night. I suppose I was thinking about other people that are on their own that may not have any supports. I am fortunate in that I don't actually have family in Cork. I lost my mum last summer, last July.
I'm sorry to hear that, Siobhan.
Thank you. I have two sisters who are great, but they're up the country, but I have fantastic friends. So, you know, from the point of view of getting things into the house and all the rest of it, I'm okay. But I was just thinking about other people that are on their own, you know, mums or dads that are parenting alone, that may have two or three children, and they may have COVID themselves, and they're, you know, and they're trying to cope. And, you know, just, I suppose it was just to try and say to people, you know, that there is help out there and there is supports out there, and to reach out for that support and not to feel isolated and to feel alone in this, because it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, and for your son now, as you say, he's not yet 14, is that right?
No, yeah, he's 14 Valentine's Day.
All right. But it's tough enough to ask a young lad to, you know, totally isolate themselves for that length of time.
Absolutely, it is. And like, we're only on day two. So yeah, it is very tough. Now he's a good kid. He understands obviously the seriousness of COVID. Now, thank God he's not very sick, and hopefully that I won't get sick. But he has all his bits and pieces in the room, and I suppose technology and much and all, as I'd be saying, come off the computer and come off.
Oh, you'll be
the
very grateful for that computer now for the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely, absolutely, and he's able to stay in touch with his friends, you know, through that, which is fantastic. So, you know, He's fine and he will be okay, like, you know. So,
and tell me, you've been off work for Christmas, have you?
I have, yeah. So by the time I go back to work, I'll have been out of work for a month.
Right. And did you notice before you finished up there, just in the run up to Christmas, had you started getting in a lot more calls about symptoms and COVID and that?
Yeah, there was definitely a lot more, but certainly nothing like what we are seeing now, you know. And what the practice has been seeing. And I was listening there on the radio this morning to Nuala O'Connor, and she was saying that they were in South Dock, I think over Christmas, they were receiving 150 calls per hour, all COVID related. And I know that the practices have been very, very busy this morning taking calls and fielding calls. So I suppose, you know, I'm just frustrated that we haven't heard from our Taoiseach, we haven't heard from Micheál Martin. There seems to be just this silence, and I think somebody really, really needs to take the bull by the horns here now, and I think we're in a national emergency. I think somebody needs to come out and speak to the Irish people, and I can see our hospitals becoming overwhelmed, the tracking tracing system is overwhelmed, ICUs will become overwhelmed, and staff are out, there's 2,000 healthcare staff out, either isolating or have been in contact with somebody with COVID. So, I mean, if you're not going to have the staff in the hospitals, it's just going to be a tsunami effect.
Yeah, that is very worrying. It's what's happening in our hospitals, I think, is what is worrying. Yeah. Not just ourselves, but the people who are in charge of what's happening in the hospitals. I've listened to Paul Reid there at lunchtime. I'll just go ask Mairead, actually. Mairead, has there been any cases of COVID in relation to your daughter's workplace?
There has, Katie. At least one person has come down with it. And after that person came down with it, the staff were discouraged, really, from taking tests. Because if they took a test, they'd have to stay at home for a couple of days until the results came back. So that caused, that generated another bit of fuss and a lot of intervention, etc., from management again. So that's the only, I only know of one confirmed case there. If there are others, then I haven't heard about them.
Right. Well, of course, as it stands now, nobody in those staff members' positions would be encouraged to take a test because close contacts, because of the huge overwhelming of the system, close contacts are no longer considered, or no longer asked to get tested, just told to go home and restrict movements and isolate for the 14 days or even the 17 days we're now hearing from Siobhan.
Yeah. Indeed, and I think this particular case happened a couple of months ago, so that would have been at that stage close contacts were being
tested,
you know, were being asked to come forward for testing, etc. However,
okay, look, we'll take a break there, but we'll come back with more after these.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And we are still trying to reconnect with Anne O'Brien there, and we will continue to do so. But in the meantime, I'm going to go to Robert Rohue. Robert, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Very good, very good. Robert, you're a stonemason.
That's right, yeah. And I'm actually building blocks now because, yeah, you know, it's just time of the year now. We can't build stone really in the rain or in the cold. But anyway, no, just my point was that a lot of building sites are different, Katie. Well, say I'd work now on my own. Mm-hmm. And I was shut down, we'll say, in March and April there. And
like as every building site in the country
But I could have been working, you know, because like there was nobody in sites where I was at. I know people had to stay home and it was great that we did and we beat it. But I think at this stage, closing down the building sites, I don't know, it is some building sites are different. See, that's the point.
Yeah, you're saying there is no one-size-fits-all with building sites because they can be very different setups. But the building site you're on now?
Right, yeah, well, there's just myself and the main contractor because I'm doing block work here.
Right.
And there's just the two of us on site.
So that has to be pretty safe.
Right, absolutely, 100%. And we sit away from each other in the canteen and, you know, we use a sanitizer and, you know, electricians have come in and we all stay apart.
Yeah.
But near me now, there's a big building site down near me here. Mm-hmm. There's about 100 men working. But I see today now, it's not very busy, Katie. I say they're not working at full capacity.
Yeah, and you'd have to give credit where credit is due. A lot of work went into making building sites safe for workers after the shutdown back in March and April.
Yes, I see that a lot now. I know, to be fair, yes. And making, you know, my boss now, you know, he makes sure that, you know, people do use hand sanitizers and we stay apart and, you know, like, we're doing the best we can. But as I said, like, it's just all busy sites are not the same. And to shut down small one operation contractors is tough, you know.
Do you think, though, there would be a case, Robert, for shutting down the bigger building sites where you would have, you know, very large numbers of workers mixing?
Well, if you shut down the likes of that, like my son now works in a garage, he's a mechanic. And, like, he's in contact with about 15 or 20 other people and close contacts every day. So
where do you stop?
You know, there's no point in shutting down one sector and leaving another sector open and then the virus can... I think if I don't shut down everything, I'll just, you know, only shut down the places that are really working together, like in you know, that kind of way, I think.
Yeah. And would you wear a mask now when you... Well, I suppose if you're only working with one other worker, yeah, you're not going to feel that you
not
need the mask, are you?
No, I'm not outdoors. But I have to be extremely careful because I'm home, I'm caring as well for a cousin who's 95.
Oh, right.
So she hasn't been outside the door since March.
Right.
So I have to be extremely careful that I don't come in contact with COVID, you know.
Okay, so you are somebody who goes about their business very, very carefully.
Yeah, we have to, 100%.
And have you been put in any situations work-wise since March, or since April rather, I should say, when the sites came back on stream, that you would have felt uncomfortable with?
Yes, absolutely. You would feel, you know, when you see a big gang of contractors coming in doing a job, you would feel uncomfortable near them, Now, just because you don't know where they've been,
indeed,
that's the worry. You just don't know where they've been or who they've seen, and that's the worry, you know. Just a stranger you'd meet is the problem.
Yeah, and I suppose that is the other thing, is that traditionally people have travelled, you know, significant distances for jobs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, most people now, to be fair, I think, when they're working outdoors and, you know, are responsible. And, you know, we're doing the best we can. We're keeping, we're hand sanitizing, et cetera.
Yeah, and again, stressing, outdoors is significantly less risky than indoors, as we know.
Absolutely. Outdoors in the fresh air, like, and, you know, and it is cold today, Katie, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I don't envy you that one, Robert.
But, no, as I said, I think it's probably the house factors and all that. And if we can get on top of that, I think it's, if we can at all, that's probably going to help the whole thing, you know.
Okay, Robert, many thanks for calling in with that. We'll have to take another break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.